If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt this morning, and we go live to Ukraine right now. Joseph Lindsley is standing by. I was looking for my sheet from yesterday because I wanted to say Dibozha to you. What does that mean again?
Dibozha means it's a greeting commonly exchanged, especially in Western Ukraine, meaning may God grant. And the idea, may God grant, whatever you wish that is good and true. So Dibozha to you, Wendy, and hello from Lviv. I think as we look at the events through the night and whatever we might face in the coming days and weeks here, I think it's good to remember as I think if you look through history, as free people get closer to victory, the tyrants tend to become more panicked and fierce as they get closer to losing their grip on power. You can look at any protest movement, but you can also look at the history of World War II and how Hitler, as he realized that the end was coming for him, tried to destroy infrastructure within Germany. The Soviets also did the same. And I think that's a thing to keep in mind today as we look at today's news. Around midnight last night, friends in Kharkiv wrote to me to say that they were under missile attack. Air alarms began, or as Ukrainians call it, air anxiety, began to spread throughout the country. And I decided to stay up through the alarm. Sometimes you choose to sleep through it, but I decided to stay up and monitor what was happening. And I couldn't shake from my mind that massive explosion that I felt several weeks ago here in Lviv, something from very, very far away, more than 100 miles. And so that was in my mind. And a little bit after 2 o'clock in the morning, there were explosions reported in the Kherson region. We're not sure if this was occupied territory or free territory. Minutes later, we had reports of more missiles entering Ukraine via Kharkiv region in the far northeast. And then at 2:30 in the morning, we had reports of explosions in the Dnipro region in south central Ukraine. Then at about the 3 o'clock hour in the morning, the air alarms by now were sounding in every region of Ukraine, including here in western Lviv, waking everyone up in the middle of the night. By 3:15 in the morning, we had reports of more targets heading toward Kyiv. And then at 3:20 in the morning, the monitoring channels reported that there were 10 incoming missiles. A few minutes later, we had a report that one of those missiles that was going toward Kyiv had turned and changed direction toward the Cherkasy region. These missiles are always moving and maneuvering. And then we had this notification about 3:30. The missiles keep changing direction. Some are heading to Zhytomyr instead of Kyiv. And so you never know which direction it'll be. At about 3:44, it seemed that Kyiv was in the clear. The missiles were coming toward the west and the southern regions. And by almost 4 o'clock in the morning, we had reports that it looked like there was only one missile still left. The others seemed to have been taken out by air defense. And then at about 4:10 in the morning, just as the sun was rising here in Lviv, we had the all-clear sirens. Only a few hours later did we really begin to hear the news of what had happened. Just about 3 o'clock this morning, the giant dam at Novokakhovka had been at least partially blown up. This is in Ukrainian territory that is currently occupied by Russia. It's on the Dnipro River, and that river cuts Ukraine in two. It comes from Kyiv, and then it goes far to the southeast to Dnipro, and then to the southwest to the Black Sea. And as it comes back to the Black Sea is where this dam is. It's a massive reservoir built in the Soviet times. I mean, I've been on the banks of that reservoir last summer when I was in Nikopol. We could see the Russian-occupied territory across the water, about 5 miles across the water. It's a massive, massive body of water. And ever since 3 o'clock this morning, that water has been flowing and flooding towns. And I think that we don't yet know the full scale of this destruction. But I think it has the potential to be extremely massive. There were trains early this morning that were absolutely packed, bringing civilians away from places that could be flooded quite urgently. And I think here we also have to look a little bit to the history. In 1941, there was another dam. So the Soviets built all these dams on the Dnipro River in the 1920s and 30s. And in 1941, the Soviet Russians blew up another dam that's upriver, maybe about 150 miles in the ancient Cossack city of Zaporizhia, and they blew it up to prevent the Germans, the Nazi Germans, from having access to it. But when they blew it up, they didn't care about the Ukrainian civilians. And there were reports that when they blew that up in 1941, maybe up to 100,000 Ukrainian civilians were killed. And the Soviets just didn't care. And it's also a reminder, these stories of Russian floods on Ukraine, it's sort of a metaphor for, how Russia has sought to wipe out Ukrainian identity and freedom through the ages. And when they built these dams, especially the one that's upriver, still under Ukrainian control right now, when they built that, they flooded the ancient Cossack, the most sacred lands to the ancient Cossacks, the place where they codified their constitution that had separation of powers in 1711, their sacred burial grounds. All of these lands were flooded by the Soviets in the name of Soviet progress. And now we see, we see that metaphor continuing today. And I think, not only does Russia, flood, the world with the propaganda, but they're doing everything they can to smother Ukrainians and Ukrainian identity. And I think as Ukrainian military gets stronger, the Russians probably will have to deploy cards like this in order to try to keep the world fearful. And these are the moments when everyone has to, find their deepest strength and to keep going.
Well, I sure hope tonight is less eventful for everyone in Ukraine, including yourself. It sounds like it was busy with all the alarms and then the dam collapse. That's not good.
No, yeah, it's not. But, for example, I was talking yesterday with several friends. Some had just returned from Kyiv and some are going to Kyiv. One friend was going to Kyiv for business. And it's amazing I think we forget about this, but I mean, Kyiv has been hit every other day for more than a month now, and people still go there for business. And and I said to my friend that was going there, I said, I think the world forgets, like, this is an incredible, this is a baseline of bravery here that's astounding. And my friend said, no, I'm not brave. I'm terrified. I'm scared. I'm very nervous about it. I got to find a hotel underground and, But I said, I think that's the definition of bravery, is that despite the fear, you keep going. Yeah, you're scared, but you keep going. And I think that's what we see, again, with each one of these. I mean, this is awful. We don't know the full details, again, in the scope of this dam attack, but it is an absolute disregard for humanity. And it's awful and terrifying. But that continues to strengthen the resolve of everyone here, as far as I can tell. Day by day.
Amazing people over there in Ukraine. Joseph Lindsley, you can go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com and keep up to date on him. We'll chat with you tomorrow, okay?
Thank you, Wendy. Until tomorrow. Dai Boja.
Dai Boja. Peace.